This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A lot to talk about with this basketball team. They won't go quietly into the night. Backed against the wall, they win in Madison Square Garden. This series is full of close games, and they're learning to close right before our very eyes. Cade Cunningham, 13 fourth quarter points. Asar Thompson playing the final 7 minutes, clamping down Jalen Brunson. Look, when it turns, when that switch gets flipped, it happens quickly. Maybe happening before our eyes. Did that win get you back on board? Look, you lose back-to-back at home. I think a lot of people thought they were
toast.
Yeah. Are you bought back in? Do you think they're getting this done? Take a text, phone calls, 248-539-9797. And I know it makes game four sting more because they could clinch on Thursday if that goes the other way. But I love how they responded to all of the adversity and all of the issues they had in game four.
This is one of those, hey, you go out and play. Like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, you go out and play, you're backed in a corner, go out there and force a game seven and see what happens. Go out there and just make the Knicks beat you. Don't do something to beat yourself. Make the Knicks go out there and actually show that they're the better team. And I thought last night, going into Madison Square Garden, in that fourth quarter, Cade playing the way that he did, it really shone a light on the fact that he's the guy that you can build around. He's the Batman.
I'm Batman.
Not the Robin. He's the...
It's one of those talking points, right? Can he be the best player on a title team? And yeah. You learn a lot about a guy in the postseason. Ticket Texter says, slow down on comparing him to Mr. Big Shot. And says he did tank a 15-footer in game four. He's not there yet. Signed Mike in Fenton. We'll get to CJ in Belleville. CJ, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to shout out our young Pistons, man, for bringing defense and physicality back to the NBA. Last night at the 8-minute mark in the fourth quarter, I think the game was like 81-81. That is real basketball. And it was so much fun to watch. You know, you were locked in. The guys were going back and forth. It was just a great game. And I want to say, you know, Cade Cunningham, phenomenal player. You know, obviously we all like his progression through his career. We also have to keep in mind that, like, this is his first playoff series. Most superstars go through it. I was really happy to see that he put up 14 points in the fourth quarter because his other four quarters in the past games weren't too productive as far as points. And then last thing, man, I love J.B. Bickerstaff. I think he's done a phenomenal job. But, man, in the playoffs, you kind of got to do things different. And I love Ron Holland. I love the way he plays, the energy. But you can't put that guy out there. Like, you just can. He's too high risk, low reward. Every time he's out there, it's a turnover, a bad foul, and it just puts them in a tough situation. And they're, you know, he's kind of losing possessions when he puts Ron Holland on. You got to go with your dogs, man, especially in an elimination game.
Well, they think he is one of their dogs. I agree. You got to be very careful. You got to be careful. I get your point, CJ, because you're right. In the playoffs, you shorten the bench, and the series, as you get deeper, you shorten it even more. And you lean on guys and you say, hey, my 5, 6, 7 best players are going to have to play 40 minutes.
Agree, and I agree with you. I think Ron Holland is a dog. He brings a lot of energy to the game. You know, but, man, it's just the mistakes and the times that he makes those mistakes. You know, that's my only issue with it. But
I got
what I'm seeing from the Pistons. Hope we pull it out. I think we'll pull out game six, and I'm still pretty confident we're going to pull this series out. So go Pistons. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, CJ.
You know, just to that point, though, somebody's got to be out there. You can't go as far as J.J. Redick did on Sunday. I mean, seriously, where...
But yeah, fill people in on this.
Where he played Luka and LeBron, was it 46 minutes? And they did not make a substitution in the second half, which is absolutely incredible if you think about it. You got to find that breather for these guys if it's the last 30 seconds of a third quarter or something like that into the first minute of the fourth. I get it. Holland hasn't been good, but... Who's going out there if he isn't? Because somebody's got to go out there and absorb some minutes. You're right about shortening the bench. But, I mean, that's a delicate thing because that can backfire if you know, the guys are winded and done late in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to put up with the Holland stuff because then your guys that perform at the end.
It gets you there. Yeah. It gets you to the finish line.
It's a tough situation.
Let's get to Ryan in Royal Oak. Ryan, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Love you guys. Great show.
Thanks.
Just wanted to comment on, you know, the game yesterday, and, you know, game two was great too, but felt like yesterday was different than game two. You know, game two, we kind of controlled, hit a big shot at the end, but this one, the Knicks just kept trying to come back, and this Pistons team, man, they just made shot after shot, stop after stop. I think they showed, you know, the confidence they're building. I really think they're better. They're deeper than the Knicks. And last thing, just Tobias Harris, what he's doing on Towns. You know, let's not forget how hard it is to guard that guy. He's going to put up his numbers, but he seems to be in his head a little bit. He's undersized on him, but he's just a dog out there. He's hitting shots too. So love for him. I think this team can pull it out, particularly hopefully we can hit game six and put all the pressure on them in game seven. But if it comes down to game seven, I think this team showed. They got what it takes physically and mentally to kind of wear him down and, you know, put their best shot out there and go in and win the whole damn thing. So proud. It was great. I underestimated how happy I'd be this morning when I woke up from that win. And, you know, let's keep rolling. But appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point about this team and, like, the significance of this win and how it shifts the series. If you get to a game seven, you've won twice already in New York. Game seven, the pressure's on the Knicks. And the only thing standing in the way from getting to game seven is a game here in Detroit. Now, they haven't won in Detroit in this series, but they've been in every game in this series. And if they're figuring out how to close games, John, I mean,
look out.
Pistons and sevens, it's right there.
But now they have to do it back-to-back times because they finished a game, they closed out a game in game two. They've got to figure out how to do that and to do it at home.
But that's a good thing here, John. It's way to perspective of coming back from 3-1. You just said, can the Pistons come back from 3-1? I don't know. It seems like a tall task. Jim, you were mentioning yesterday, but they can do it for a day.
Yes.
Well, they did it for a day. Now they don't have to do it back-to-back games. They have to do it for a day. Yeah, and then if they get to game seven, you know how long they have to do it? They have to do it for another game. They have to do it for a game.
Break it up. Yep. It's the only mentality you can have at this point. You don't look at it as winning three in a row. You look at it as winning the next game.
Engineer brain. Just solve the next problem.
Right. And you... If you're going to be the more desperate team, if you're going to be the more, you know, the Pistons played last night the way they should play, that they're capable of playing, the way that we thought they would play when we both picked them to win this series, right? That they could win a pivotal game in New York to win this series. They're going to have to do it again and again, but last night may offer up some hope for the fan base. 248-539-9797. Before we get the ticket text, Tony in Ferndale, good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
Hey, good. You know, just want to chime in. You know, I thought game five was an unwinnable game after the Jalen Brunson chance, and game three and four at LCA, I thought the environment at MSG was going to be unbeatable, and the guys went in and got it done. So anything's done with this team, or anything's possible with this team, but, you know, I can't be going without said. I called in last week after a loss in one of those game three or game four, and you guys were saying, hey, let's trade three first-rounders and Jalen Duren and Jaden Ivey for Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is a perfect example of a team with chemistry, working when they need to, making plays in tough environments.
Tony,
you know, is Giannis going to demand the ball in fourth quarter in a game like last night?
Tony, I'd still do that trade.
Yeah, I mean,
that trade.
That's how to make this team better for next year. I mean, that's two different topics. What we're talking about and what you're talking about is this team being able to, you know, rebound. And I think it's a great point too. That's a tough rebound. With the way they lost in game four, it was deflating. It was crushing. They had to get over that to be able to win in Madison Square Garden where that place was going nuts.
And Tony, I think they're two, to John's point, two different conversations. If the Pistons advance, and if feel optimistic after last night. If the Pistons do pull this off, they will face harsher realities in the second round of the playoffs, and you may be looking at it going, yeah, I'd love to add a Giannis to this basketball team. I think we're ahead of ourselves because you're right, the series isn't over, and we are seeing this team grow up before our eyes, but there is a ceiling on this. And that's why those Giannis and Booker conversations will end up coming up later in the summer, because this team's not going to win at all, and you're going to have that honest conversation about how you get better. Some ticket text, 248-539-9797. It's the Knicks' three-point shooting against the Pistons' defense. If the shooting goes cold, the Pistons win. The Knicks have made some huge shots at times in this series.
They have, and it's been Karl-Anthony Towns that's made a lot of those big threes.
For the first time in the series, Brunson looked tired. It's a long physical series, and now the rest is short between these final games. Advantage Pistons, signed Brian. It's a good note. Brunson seemed like he was struggling at the end of the game. In fact, was out the last couple minutes sitting on the sideline. Might have been in pain, bent over backwards. He says, I'm curious to know if the physicality might be taking its toll on him. And a texter brings up bad clock management at the end of the game. I don't know specifically what they're referring to, but I thought the Knicks needed to get Brunson in the game. They needed to take a timeout and get him back out there. Maybe Brunson is running out of gas here.
Well, I mean, we talked about it going into the series. Their starting five is who they've been riding with. And they've been doing it throughout the playoffs. Is it taking a toll? Because he is dinged up. And, I mean, he goes off limping at some point in every single game.
Yeah. And last game, hats off
to him for continuing to play at a high level. But is the wear and tear going to cost them at the end of this series? And the Pistons have to make it.
One thing I'm going to be really curious about is JB made the adjustment we talked about. Asar Thompson closing out the game.
I appreciate him listening.
I'm sure that's why it was. He's driving around in the morning. I have an epiphany.
Yeah.
Streaming us from New York. You know what? I'm going to do what those guys said. No, I think this was just an obvious, you got to try something. You're facing elimination. Go down with your best defender on the floor in the fourth quarter. This team is a defense first team. They're not going to score a ton in the half court. If you can get stops, you can get easy buckets. I loved that counterpunch to put Asar out there, and I want to see it the rest of the series. The Knicks will try to adjust. And if they can't adjust in game six, John, if the Pistons get to game seven, I think they're winning this. So it makes game six.
We'll
game
discuss
six
that.
Becomes that game to win the series.
We'll discuss that on Friday.
Okay.
I'm not even going there.
I am excited
about the potential, the possibility, but let's focus on game six. Let's focus on getting a win at the LCA.
First things first. All right, ticket text, phone calls, more of your thoughts. We'll get to John's eventful evening.
Oh, yeah.
7:35.
Big night coming up.
Yeah, look at you. Get to that. It's 97.1. Guys, if you're injured in an auto accident, you're going to want to find someone who's looking out for you. You might be stressed. You might not know who to turn to. Let me tell you about KG Law. Lawrence KG, he's a Detroiter. He's built his business doing things the right way and helping people out, helping people win millions and doing it because he truly cares. Their phone number is 877-KG-CARES. They're not cutting corners. They're getting you the biggest settlement possible. And these cases don't happen overnight, but you're not going to be left in the dark. You're not going to have your case parked while they wait and wait and wait. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. Visit kgcares.com. That's spelled K-A-J-Y, kgcares.com. Is he Batman? Is he Robin? Last night,
he was Batman.
Cade Cunningham. And his team's learning to close games. I think as much as we want to prop Cade up, I don't want to leave Asar Thompson out of this. That was Jalen Brunson's worst playoff game in a Knicks uniform. Held to 16 points, 25% shooting. And John, for a guy who's been so big in the fourth, he only had three in the final quarter. 0 points the final 6 minutes of the game. Asar Thompson, closeouts, shut down. This team's learning how to close games before our very eyes. And I know you don't want me to say anything too grandiose because we got to go one game at a time.
No, I don't want you to say anything grandiose. I just want you to focus on game three and whether or not you should actually go.
Game six, you're saying.
I'm sorry, game six.
The third home game.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, no.
You don't think I should go?
I
you think I need to do that for the city? Sit on my couch instead?
I mean... I'd like to hear a little bit. You don't have to call, but you could text in. You could hit us on Twitch. Should Costa actually go?
And we can make this an ongoing discussion for the next 48 hours here. What I was going to say, John.
You're going to say it anyway. Go ahead. But whatever.
Winner of game six wins the series. That's not saying anything. That's just simply pointing out if the Pistons can duplicate this performance.
If the Knicks win game six, they win the series.
And if the Pistons win game six, you're going
back
to the Garden.
Game seven.
And they'll win that game seven. But you got to win game six first. The reason I say this, and I know you're rolling your eyes and you're disgusted with me, and fine, I signed up for this. If they win game six, if no one's proclaiming anything, if they win game six, it would mean they strung together back-to-back performances. It would mean this thing at the end of the game where the Sar Thompson wasn't a one-off, even with the Knicks' adjustments, the Pistons have figured something out. And it would mean all the pressure's on the Knicks. I said my piece. We'll get back to the phones. Brad and Warren, I'm sorry to everybody. You're on 97.1.
Hello.
What's up?
So, I know this is a radio broadcast, and most people don't look at advanced analytics, but Asar Thompson is a plus 19. When Asar Thompson is subbed off of the floor for either Tim Hardaway or Malik Beasley, we go to a negative 65 or a negative 54 net rating. It is an abysmal thing to sub Asar Thompson off the floor in the fourth quarter, Bickerstaff was doing in the prior game. That adjustment alone is what won us game six. And he did a lot of more on-ball actions instead of setting Asar in the corner, which yep. We all know he can't shoot. So there was no point in doing that. You were just taking away his ability to make plays. He's a great playmaker when he has the ball in his hands. Yes, he's young. He'll make mistakes a couple of times. But you have to live with that when you're looking at these net rings.
Yeah, so you're right. People will argue you can't play him at the end of games because he can't shoot. And the NBA, we know, is a shooting game. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Clog the paint with him and Durant at the same time? And to his point, the numbers back it up. There's more good than bad having him on the floor. And you're right. You do need to involve him more in screen and rolls and give him actions and keep him moving and force the defense to watch for back cuts. If you just put him in a corner, yeah, you're not going to get the most out of him.
Right, but if the analytics prove that they're a better team with him on the floor, and we already talked about the entire length of the season, this series going down to the wire, and the amount of minutes Jalen Brunson has been playing, if his legs are tired, then if you have Asar Thompson on the floor and you make him work at the most critical of times for every single basket, for every single look, for every single touch. I mean, we saw what it did yesterday. We saw what it meant last night. Make him work. And if he hits those shots, I mean, he's a great player. Sometimes great players make great plays.
But you make him work for it.
Yeah.
Couple quick text. Texter says, Pistons are showing they're getting better and more comfortable. There's no one that showed up more than Asar Thompson. And a texter says the pressure is all on the Knicks. Beef Stew will come back. Detroit will rip out New York's heart on Saturday in Game 7. Guaranteed, Tony, in Marine City.
Oh, a little Sheed reference.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, among the top 10 best-selling jerseys from the 2025 NFL Draft is a familiar name. So after being selected number 10 overall by the Chicago Bears, former Michigan tight end Colston Loveland quickly became a top seller of jerseys. According to the NFL shop, he was number 10 among rookies for jersey sales, which is pretty cool. He is also the second tight end on the list, following former Penn State standout Tyler Warren. Coming in at number one, Travis Hunter.
Okay.
Cam Ward, number two. And then Shedeur Sanders, number three.
Yeah. People got his back.
Yeah. They sorry, I was distracted.
I saw that.
Did you see who
did
he was?
Did you read the name?
I did. Is that real? It's a real name?
It's real, yes. And it's a sad story. He passed away yesterday. It's one of the all-time...
Who was he?
I think he was correct me if I'm wrong, a New York Mets fan. Yeah, New York Mets fan.
What was his name, John?
His name was Seymour Wiener. And I sent that to Tom and Scott last night. because he passed away yesterday and they were recognizing him at one of the games.
Yeah, he's a Mets super fan, World War II vet.
Uh-huh.
Seymour Wiener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like, obviously, a name that, you know, people would put in, like, type in for a newscast and, like, see if the person will say it.
Right,
like, it sounds like a made-up name.
It does sound like a made-up name, but I think you can go back as far as, I mean, I don't remember what the date was that he was born. It was, like, 1927. Was that what it was? Yeah, wow. 1927.
Wow.
His parents had a great sense of humor. Had to.
But was it funny back then?
Seymour Wiener?
Yeah,
I think that one goes way back.
That might go back to whenever. When did that become a slang? I guess, did you call it a slang term for what it's
for what? For what?
Like, when did that word become a word for that term?
Probably for a long time.
You think back then, in the 1920s?
We'd have to go back to the Latin root of that word.
Yes, look, there's a baseball club in the 1900s that's called Merkel's Boner.
Right. So I think it's been funny for a long time.
Okay.
Probably predates 1927.
Maybe it was a family name. We have to name him Seymour, unfortunately.
So there were multiple Seymour Wieners in
there
the family.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I've not done my research on Mr. Wiener. I'll have to.
According to the internet.
Mr. Wiener.
That's my father. Call me Seymour.
According to the internet, that became slang somewhere around 1865 to 70. So he was made fun of.
Okay, thank you.
Can you imagine him
research.
Going to grade school?
Well, no, what about he's in boot camp, whatever, when he went to World War II?
Oh, my goodness. They had to be merciless. I mean, just no mercy. Oh, boy. Yeah,
so drill sergeant
I actually have
up.
No idea what you... I know you're talking about jersey sales.
Yeah, Colson Loveland.
Oh, okay.
He's the number 10. For jersey sales after the draft.
I think the headline was that Shador was number 3 in jersey sales. Yes. Anyway.
Well, anyway, thanks for that. That was fun. So with just over a week before millions of air travelers must be real ID compliant, some lawmakers are warning that their states aren't ready for this shift. There's a Kentucky state senator, and he says his state and several others are having issues when it comes to compliance from residents, and they say in turn there could be some major issues at airports. So I've been talking about this. Starting on May 7th, a real ID will be required for travelers looking to board airplanes departing in the U.S., right? Flying anywhere here in the U.S., you need one. Also for entry to certain federal facilities, military bases, nuclear power plants, you need this real ID. And if you're not real ID compliant, you could be turned away from those buildings, those facilities. And if you're attempting to board a plane, you could face some delays, some additional screening, or just the possibility of saying, hey, you know what? You can't even get through this security checkpoint.
I'm glad to know that I'm cleared for nuclear power plants.
There you go, John. But there's many states that are struggling to get people to actually go and make the switch. In Kentucky, just 40% of people are compliant with these new ID rules.
Well, you know,
and apparently,
when they will stop struggling? When people can't fly.
Yes.
They can't do the things that they want to do. Like, go do it.
And then apparently there's 17 other states that are below the 50% compliance. So there's a lot of states that are not
an issue.
It could be an issue. There were several lawmakers that tried to request an extension on the deadline, but it sounds like, nope, this is going through as planned. Now, if you don't have a real ID and you are traveling, you can use your passport, if you have one, a passport card, a permanent resident card, or a border crossing card. So, and if you don't, schedule a day at the Secretary of State's. And what are you laughing at? I'm guessing it's about Seymour Wiener, right?
Did you get a Twitch message? Because I got a ticket text on it.
Well, so yeah, I was going to make the joke at the time, but I thought, well, maybe I'll just be a little more grown up than I normally am.
No, just let it rip.
But yeah, I mean, it's obviously he's his cousin. You know his cousin, right?
Who, John?
Seymour Butts.
Someone points out on the ticket text, when he was in the military, he would have been a private at one point.
Oh, boy.
Private Wiener. Heather with the news, and we've descended into this. All right. John, where you're going tonight, you may be the youngest person in attendance. We'll get to that. We'll take some phone calls. We'll have some fun. It's 97.1.
Hey, I want to speak to all of you that when you were getting dressed this morning, maybe the clothes didn't fit just the way that they used to when you first bought them. And it's picture season, right? We're going to be out there for Memorial Day and it's summer. You want to be at the beach. and you're avoiding being in pitchers, you got to give Ideal U a call. You can find them on the web at idealu.us. You could lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days. Just imagine what that would be like in another 40 days from now. Don't wait another day. I know the program works because I lost 50 pounds in 40 days with Ideal U. If you book today, Ideal U is going to give you a free body composition analysis. It's $150 value, absolutely free. Book your free consultation right now at idealu.us. Ideal U is different than other weight loss companies because it works and it works fast. You can lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days and be happy getting in those clothes in the morning and taking those pictures yet again. It's just a little over a month. That's all you got to do. Book your free consultation right now at idealu.us to get your body composition analysis. It's $150 value, absolutely free.
Heather, you're used to this. I'm getting used to this. When you host a radio show with John Jansen, there's just some things that are funny and he can't help himself. Middle of your news, you point over a TV, this decorated...
Hold on. It wasn't a point. It was this. Flailing his arms. Oh, my God. I thought there was, like, major breaking news. Like, something massive had just happened. So I'm trying to get through
something
my news.
Something massive did happen.
I was going to say, I can't speak to whether it's massive or not.
No.
But...
super fan. Seymour Wiener passed yesterday. And I saw it yesterday, and I apologize that it includes you in the text message. I just didn't feel like maybe you would
appreciate it.
I should have included Colin is what I should have done.
You should have.
But yes, it was. And I have said this many times when we're doing the news, and I have a youthful sense of humor. You do an unbelievable job of staying focused. I don't think people really understand how focused you could be in moments such as that when there is something completely senseless going on around you.
Fought World War II, Mets fan, lived almost 100 years.
Wow.
Seymour Wiener passes away and John can't help
old
himself. Very old. John, a couple ticket texts. Could you imagine his sergeant in the Army, Private Wiener, stand at attention?
Oh, yes.
If he was in the Navy, he would have been a seaman. It's from Keith, who says, yikes. And one more. John, I feel bad for his sister, Anita.
Ticket texters, I love you. I love you. You're so good.
All right, before we get to your plans tonight, Kyle and Canton, you got thoughts on the Pistons? Good morning. What's up? How are you?
Morning, boys.
What's up?
Let's go. So I called in earlier in the week saying we were going to take game five, and even earlier before that, my son gave me the fact of their starting five has played more minutes than any starting five in NBA history.
I remember
we
you.
Have gotten better
yes. Every-
We have gotten better every game. They have gotten worse every game. We lose by two, we lose by one, then we win. We win game six, we win game seven, it's on to the next round. So Asar Thompson is the game changer there, right?
Yes.
And then playing that Shaq attack against Robinson, that messed everything up. So, I mean, Asar down low and that combination, let him dunk the ball 20 times in game six. Just keep it coming. Off-ball defense is tremendous, and continue the pressure. Our bench will outlast them, 100%.
Asar was asked after the game his confidence level in getting to a game seven. Super confident was his response.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to game seven, if, the Knicks will pack the garden with anxiety. They are 0-5 in their last five home closeout chances, including last night.
Mm.
A few more ticket texters says, I'm not one to insult a war veteran, but I heard his wife, Alotta, was very happy. Thank you for your service, Seymour. Doug at work.
What do you think his nickname was? Tiny?
My heart goes out to you, Heather. You have to work with these guys, Gail and Troy.
I know. Thank you.
Well, I will say this. We have corrupted you enough that you are now a full participant in most of these.
You have.
You're welcome. I should say you're welcome, Colin.
A few ticket textures on the Pistons says, Jimmy, stay home for game six. Sit in the dark with the TV off. Look at the Red Wings you got your stupid season tickets for. Says they lost every game you went to. Same building. Stay away.
Yeah. There was a question posed earlier. People still let Jim go to games live?
Keep cookies away from LCA. All caps. Please tell him to shut up, John.
Is your lovely bride going with you?
No.
Who are you going with?
Stoney, probably. That's who I spent game four with. Quick story on that. Stoney does his own thing at these games. This doesn't surprise you, John.
No.
He's sitting in like the little courtside club because everybody knows Stoney. And it's a good view of the game. So I go, where are you at? Where are you at? And he waves me over. So he and I just sat and watched the game together. I guarantee he'll be at game six. And those are pretty good spots.
Yeah.
So I'll try to sneak over there with him for game six.
Yes. Well, I hope you have a good time. And I hope for your sake and the rest of our sake that they win.
I do too, John, because I'm starting to worry how people are going to react if I show up and they lose. I do want to correct something. The Wings actually won the majority of games I went to. They were 9-8 in games I attended last season.
Oh, the vast majority.
Yeah, yes. All of one more win. Mm-hmm. Okay, tonight for you.
Yeah, big concert, Ford Field, AC/DC. I can't wait. This is my Christmas present from my wife. And we've been looking forward to this for a while. We've actually have some friends that have bought tickets near us as well. They're going to go. We're going to meet up at the concert. I can't wait. This is kind of one of those on the bucket list. And I like all genres of music. This obviously takes me back to my childhood. They predate my childhood. But I think there's a lot of people that as soon as, you know, Thunderstruck and some of their great songs come on, it's a turn it up. As soon as it comes on the radio, you turn it up, right? Because you just enjoy the excitement, the energy level. I had no idea. I don't know why. It never entered my mind the age of the band until I start following them on Instagram and I'm looking at some of their concerts. Now, they still rock it.
I was going to ask, do you expect them to hold up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
I know some people have gone to shows thinking and not been happy.
Oh, no, I've seen them. I've seen a lot of their shows, you know, that for what they've shown on Instagram. Now I know, okay, they could pick and choose what they're going to put out there, but Angus Young, their lead guitarist, I was shocked when I saw how old he looked. And so I looked it up, and all of these guys in the band, the current members of the band, are from 68 to 77 years old. And so then I went back, obviously, and looked at when they started as a band. It was, again, I said it predates me. It's 1973.
Right.
And so I'm curious, has their music held up? Like, do you...
You're looking at me.
Yeah, well, because you're the youngest one here.
Yeah, no, it's funny you bring this up because, I mean, their hits all happened before I was born. Even the late stuff, like Thunderstruck came out before I was born. Back in Black came out before I was born. Highway to Hell, clearly. I mean, you go back far enough. But I know all these songs.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
This isn't a Bronner's moment. I'm not going to let everybody down. I know AC/DC.
Yeah.
You have to be one of the youngest people going tonight, though, right?
I don't think so. I will be interested to see what the median age will be. But because, like, if you go into a stadium and you Google, and everybody does this, right? Some of your playlists are, you know, best stadium songs. Whether you use it to work out to or what, Thunderstruck is one of them. It's always one of them. And you hear their music because it energizes a stadium. It energizes people. That's what I said. The song comes on the radio, and all of a sudden, it's kind of, yeah, turn this one up a little bit. It's one of those. And so I know I won't be the youngest because my wife will be with me and she is younger than I am.
You guys will not be the youngest.
I wouldn't think so.
No, there's not a lot of new rockers out there. Like, okay, so when these guys all die, who are going to be the next big rock and roll bands? Like, there's not many out there. Like, AC/DC to me is up there with a band that you're introducing to your child. Like, you're... Here, let me teach you about rock and roll, right? Like, so younger generations learn about them through their parents, and obviously these songs are still out there. You're not going to be the youngest ones there.
And their music has stood the test of time.
Yes.
And it will, even when these guys are passed and people are playing these songs, it's going to stand the test of time. And because, and Heather, you may still be a little bit younger for this one, but like the 80s, we all remember the one-hit wonders.
Oh, sure.
Right, where it was just one song and then they just faded into oblivion. The bands of the that stand the test of time, the 70s, the 80s, like, I don't know that we have that type of music. So when our kids, like when Lucy is 48 years old, 30 years from now, will she, you know, be talking about the great music of her teen years? I just don't know that we have those bands. And I don't want to get into the whole genre thing. And I know that there's people that love all different kinds of music, but
you don't think people are going to be in the retirement home blaring Drake, Hotline Bling?
I just don't feel like I don't feel like it'll last as long.
So we have so many different questions we could ask people. What do you want to know from people on the phones?
Well, I want to know what, first of all, anybody going? And will I see you tonight? Is this a band that you're sharing with your kids? Because when you listen to their music, they don't have, okay, I know there's some music or there's some songs that have, you know, some risky lyrics, but there's no bad language in it. And the crowd could get a little ruckus, but are you taking your kids?
Can you take your kids? Will you take your kids?
Will you take your kids?
Yeah. Okay. 248-539-9797. We'll get to it next. 97.1.
Hey, you guys, if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill, right? Well, listen to this. Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's Verizon's best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead, take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I see you over there.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I'm so excited. That got me jacked up.
Tonight, little date night.
Uh-huh.
You're going to the concert, AC/DC at Ford Field. And I joked. I said, are you going to be the youngest people there? People are calling in. They're bringing their kids.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those classics that holds up.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll share a text from Baseball Nate. He's bringing his kids. Those are the friends that we're going to meet there. And both of his kids are softball players. And they have Thunderstruck and TNT as their walk-up songs.
How old are their kids?
They are 12 and 9.
Okay, I was just curious. Like, what is the appropriate age for a kid to go to a concert like this?
I mean,
sounds
I don't know.
That's about right.
Yeah,
right?
It's about right. Yeah, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, somewhere in there.
You want them to remember it?
Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You want them to enjoy this type of music? Be old enough for the noise, the crowd,
the beautiful
scene.
Part of, especially for these two lucky kids, is this music is already a part of their life.
Right.
And I was never a live concert goer until I met my wife. And now live concerts are something that I love to do.
Most are
because
live.
Well, yes, no, I know, but like okay. Live music. Okay. Yeah, sorry, yeah, live concerts.
I had to go to the concerts where they just play music out of
right,
the speaker.
Yes, yeah. But I mean, I was never a concert goer. Live music was not my thing.
I know what you meant.
And
I did too.
Now I've been to so many concerts with my wife, and hearing it live, it just is a completely different energy. And then when I hear it after that, it adds more context to it. So I love doing it now.
8 o'clock hour, we'll get back into the Pistons. We'll get to what Iserman had to say at the podium. But John, just reset this before we take calls. What do you want to hear from people?
I want to know, are you taking your kids? And one, how old is old enough? And how are you sharing the music of your youth with the kids of today? And because the other text I got was from a college friend of mine who said, you know, as soon as I hear AC/DC, I feel like I got to warm up for basketball. And because the Thunderstruck, all of these songs were part of that. You know, you put that mixtape together, which you have to use to tape off the radio. And that's part of the layup line. It's part of warming up for football. It's what you listen to in the locker room on the cassette tape before you go out there. Like, it's all a part of it. And it's a flood of memories. Maybe that's the other thing. When you hear Thunderstruck, when we came out there, what memory did it invoke? Because great music will do that.
Let's get right to it. A lot of people want to talk. Adam in Algonac, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, all. Hey, Jansen, I just want to let you know, as a fellow full-grown immature adult, there are never enough wiener jokes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I agree.
Anytime. And I want to say my dad raised me right. I'm 39 years old. Some of my favorite bands, Rolling Stones, AC/DC, Fleetwood Mac. My son will be 13 in June. I'm taking him tonight to the concert. AC/DC is his favorite band. We got the tickets as a gift, too, for Christmas for my girlfriend. And I can't wait, man. I really can't. We jam out to it all the time. We jam out to all old school music. He even knows a lot of Motown. But the moment I'm waiting for tonight is during Shoot to Thrill, in that breakdown when the whole place is rocking and clapping, sharing that moment with him. Because this will be technically his second concert, but the first concert he ever went to was with Santana when he had that medical issue.
Okay.
So tonight is his first real concert, and I can't wait to see him freak out and have a blast there tonight.
Good for you. Have a great time. Hope to see you there.
You too. Y'all be safe. Have a great rest of the day.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam.
I love that.
Yeah. Because
I was cheering up. Like, yes, create those memories with your kid. I love it.
Uh-huh.
Let's get to Matt in Waterford. Matt, you're next up. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
What's up?
Yeah. I just wanted to talk. I heard you guys talking about the AC/DC concert, and I just wanted to chime in because we're pretty jacked. I am going tonight with my whole family. My wife and I are 40, so this music transcends with us as our parents grew up listening to it, and we're sharing it with our kids, who my son turns 11 in May here, and my daughter, who is 8. So we're ready to rock, and this has been going on for about 2 years, ever since my son heard them for the first time. He can't stop. He sings it in the shower. He sings it in his room. And we surprised them, actually, over Easter with these tickets, and he was in absolute shock, couldn't believe it, because he just said, hey, Dad, do you think we could ever go to an AC/DC concert? And this was, like I said, 2 years ago. I said, I don't know if they're ever going to tour again, buddy, but we'll see. And as soon as we found out they were in Detroit, my wife and I figured it out, and we said, we're doing this because it's about those memories, and I'm beyond thrilled to see his reaction tonight. It's going to be a blast. And, John, hopefully we see you there.
That'd be great. Love to. Make sure you say hi. What's your son's favorite song?
Pretty much TNT. I mean, I think I have full videos. He knows every single lyric to it, and the antics, the movements, Angus movements, he kind of embodies it, and he goes full force with it when he's singing it around the house.
He's going to be rocking in the aisle. I know it. That's great.
Matt, appreciate the phone call. You won't miss John. You pick him out of a crowd. People have pointed that out. Poor souls who have to sit behind John tonight.
Because we'll be standing up the whole time.
So that's an obstructed view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Four rows behind, you're going to have an obstructed view as well. We'll keep collecting these ticket texts and your phone calls. It's 97.1.